This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
See everybody. If you're online today, we especially want to say good morning to you. We know that today being Easter, a lot of people are checking out Christianity, maybe checking out churches, and so we just want to welcome you and say give Jesus a chance. Because this day is huge in our history. I want to say just thank you for being here and being part of this. As you are kind of gathering in, I don't know what your morning was like, but this is the day, right? It was a day that 2,000 years ago or so, a group of women led by Mary Magdalene got up early to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. And they went to the tomb, and when they got there, there were two angels there that looked like men, and they came and inquired about Jesus. And in Luke chapter 2, the angels replied this way, "Why are you looking for the dead for someone who's alive?" Isn't that a powerful statement? Why are you looking for something that's dead for someone who's alive? And then they said to him, these are the words of Easter, right? "He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that we could arise again on the third day." That was the message, right? And they came believing that, and they found that he was risen, and it changed human history. And that's why today, across the world, billions of people are gathering to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. And we believe it's not just a day in human history. It's not just a day we look back on and go, what happened that day? It's also a day that's changing today, because it gives us hope for today. It changes lives. The resurrected Jesus is not someone we just study in history. He is a person who is active in the world today. He is mending marriages. He is restoring families. He is breaking addictions. He is giving hope to the hopeless. Jesus is still active. He is still working. And we preach that. We teach that. We believe that. We live that. And Easter is not just any old day. It is the day, right, that we want to come back to. Now, for some of us here today, this is your X amount of Easters. You count them, right? And you heard the message. You probably know what we're going to talk about. It's obvious we're going to talk about Jesus. But we don't want this day to be just any other day. We don't want you to go, "I already know," because sometimes God wants to step in and interrupt our lives and say something different to us. He wants us to understand that this day is huge because it impacts who we are today and what we're doing. When I was in college at Chapel Hill, I was a chem major. I made it through about 2 years until God finally says, "You can't do it," right? Chemistry was not easy for me, and I finally had to leave that. So I switched to what I thought was the easiest major, which is religious studies. That's kind of how I ended up in what I'm doing today. And one of my first classes in religious studies was the New Testament class. It was a lecture class. There were hundreds of people in it. It was at 8 o'clock in the morning. The professor was Jewish. And so he would come up in the morning, he would walk out to his podium, he wouldn't say hello, he would just start talking. And you would just start writing the whole class until he was done, he would walk off. There was no interaction, no nothing. That was how it was, and you just write it down. Then one day, as we were sitting there in the back, I sat near the back, someone walked in dressed as the Easter Bunny. And he came in through a back door, and he had balloons, and he said in a really loud voice, "Today is someone's birthday." And he started walking up, and he goes, "Where is so-and-so?" I don't remember her name, but it was a young lady. And she was sitting near the back, and near the front, and she just sank down in her seat. Everybody knew who she was, right? And here this guy comes in with balloons and a present, and he's like yelling happy birthday, he's singing the happy birthday song. He delivers the present. She's mortified, right? And the whole class is just kind of cheering. And as he delivered that, the professor stopped and he said, excuse me. And he's talking to the Easter Bunny, okay? "Excuse me, you're interrupting my class and I don't appreciate it." And the whole place got quiet. And he began to rail at the Easter Bunny. He said, "You should not be doing this." And he said some other things. Well, the Easter Bunny started backing up really casually. And to his credit, he never took off his head. Still to this day, nobody knows who that Easter Bunny was. He just walked out. And the poor girl is left sitting there with the balloons. And everybody knows it's her fault, but not really her fault. And the professor looks around the room and he looks at her and he says this, "I'm too upset to talk." And he walks off. Now, in college, the rule is 15 minutes. It may be 5 minutes today. I don't know. But in my day, it was 15 minutes. The professor's gone for 15 minutes, you walk out. Anybody know that rule? All right? If they're gone, you can leave. And everybody's going, what do we do? Is this a prank? What's going on? And so, you know, people are looking at their watches, and the early adopters, they started leaving after 5 minutes because they didn't care anyway, right? And it was a beautiful day outside. They were going to enjoy the day. And other people started leaving in groups. The poor girl got, she walked out holding the balloons down low so you couldn't really tell, but everybody knew. And I sat there because I'm that kind of person. I sat there for 15 minutes. He may come back, right? He may come back any moment, and I want credit. I want to be that guy that says, yeah, I waited for you. He never came back. And I went outside, and I sat out in the sun, and I will tell you this. There were two feelings. One was I'm kind of sad. I felt bad for the poor girl. But the rest of me, can I just tell you, I was happy. Here was a day I didn't have to sit and take notes. I could go enjoy the sunshine. I went and got breakfast. I just enjoyed not being in class. I enjoyed having a life interrupted. You ever had something good that just interrupted your life? And you say, okay, my life is now going to be a little bit different. The day is going to be different. I got rained out. I couldn't mow the grass. Maybe that was you one day. You had it all scheduled and you went and did something fun. Something happened. You just go, okay, I can't do what I have to do. Power's out. I can't do what I have to do. And so you enjoy the interruptions. And I think sometimes God just wants to interrupt our lives. He wants to interrupt our lives and say, I've got something for you, and it's something good, and I want you to experience it. And sometimes interruptions are great. In the Bible, there's a story about a guy named Saul. Saul was a guy that really did not like the idea of Jesus. He really did not like the idea of the resurrection. And what he did was this: on the way to Damascus, he was doing the work of a person that was against Jesus. On the way, his life was interrupted by Jesus. The resurrected Jesus appeared to him, and his life changed, and he began to preach about Jesus, began to tell people about Jesus. And he began to plant churches and share his story, and people's lives were changed because of it, as God had interrupted his life. Later on, he wrote to some of these churches. We call them the epistles. And he wrote one to the church in Rome. And he said this about his life that God had changed. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He said this: this letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. He said, my life is so different now. I used to be against Jesus, but now I serve him with everything I have. He's changed my life. I'm a slave of his. I'm giving myself to him fully. He said, chosen by God to be an apostle. Apostle is just one that tells people about Jesus. And sent out to preach his good news. Not bad news, but his good news. Here's the good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. God told people in advance that this was going to happen. Get ready for it. Jesus is going to be alive. It's good news. And I want to tell people about that good news. Next verse, he said the good news is about his son. And then he said this: in his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want you to focus on that just for a second. It's an outstanding claim. Paul says Jesus was not just a prophet. He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a good person. The resurrection of Jesus proved a point that God was making a long time before, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is alive, and there's power there. This is not something to ignore. This is something to think about, to contemplate, to run through what are the implications of that. But he said, look at the resurrection. That is what proves Jesus. It's not just that his teachings were good or that he was a historical figure. It's the fact that he was a person, and he rose again, and that is the power of Christianity. It's the power of Easter, that someone who was dead rose from the grave. And because of that, we have hope today. Because of that, we can look for lives to be changed. And because of that, God wants to get our attention. Today, I want to do something a little bit different with this story. I want you to follow me on something. I kind of want to interrupt the Easter message. Here's what I want you to think through with me for a second. What if? What if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? What if the resurrection had never happened? What would your life be like? What would the world be like? What if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? And on that morning, the first day of the week, Mary and her friends go to the tomb, and they're carrying their spices with them. And they get close to the tomb, and they hear voices. The voices are speaking languages they don't recognize very well. And as they get closer, they realize they're Roman soldiers. And they're camped out and they're talking to each other. And they're sitting in front of a tomb with a stone in place and a seal in place, because if Jesus didn't rise, they're still on guard duty. And they're sitting there, and the women look and they go, they're not going to recognize us. We have no power here. We have no authority here. And they're afraid, because if we deal with these guys, what's going to happen with us? And so if Jesus didn't rise, they'd go back home. And they go, what was it all about? Why did we do it? Why did we follow him if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? What does it mean for those ladies' lives? And then I want you to think a little bit later in the day, there were two people walking from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. It's about a 2.5-hour walk. And if you're ever walking with somebody, you know, you talk and you don't talk, you kind of go back and forth. What if Jesus didn't rise and he doesn't interrupt their conversation? And they're walking and they're talking about Jesus, and they talked about what happened to them, and that's all they know, he died. And there's no one to interrupt them and tell them otherwise if Jesus didn't rise. And they get to Emmaus and they go, I don't know, what was it all about? He said he was coming back, but he didn't. Last we saw, he was dead. He's in the tomb. What does that mean for our lives? And they just keep on walking. And they go, it wasn't worth it. He's just one more of one more. And they just change nothing in their life. And they go back to who they used to be. What if Jesus didn't rise again? And that night, the disciples are gathered in a room and the door is locked because they're afraid of the Jews. They're afraid of what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. And they start talking and they're going, where did we miss it? And they're crushed because they saw Jesus die. And they know their friend Judas has committed suicide. If you've ever been around someone who's committed suicide, you know the havoc that wreaks in a life. You know what it does. And they're dealing with that, and they're dealing with Jesus, and he doesn't appear to them if he doesn't rise from the dead. And they're left with that, and they hang out for a while, and then they look at each other and go, we don't have Jesus as the center anymore. What are we going to do? If Jesus didn't rise, then Matthew goes back to being a tax collector or finds another job. He was the note taker. And if Jesus didn't rise, he's probably going, what's the point of his teachings? And so he tears them up and uses it to start a fire. Peter and his friends go back to being fishermen. And you and I never hear of them again. And the message of Jesus isn't put out. There's no Sermon on the Mount. There's no love your enemies. There's no love your neighbor. None of that exists anymore. They don't hang out. There's no Pentecost. There's no church. There's no people preaching. There's no salvation. None of that. It's all gone if Jesus didn't rise. Paul, whose real name is Saul, is a Pharisee. He teaches legalism. That's all he teaches. If Jesus doesn't rise, his life isn't changed. You and I never hear of him. The world is different than it is right now. Constantine, who was the emperor in 300, doesn't become emperor anymore. He had a vision of the resurrected Jesus who told him how to fight, told him to put a cross on his shield. They did that. They won the battle. He's no longer emperor, and the Roman Empire collapses because of it. No Roman Empire, no Catholic Church. Think about the sciences. Many of the scientists of their day wanted to discover the world that God created. What if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Copernicus, who wanted to discover how God created the universe, discovered that everything revolves around the sun. Against common thought, he has no desire to do that anymore. Why? He's not investigating God because he doesn't know about God. Isaac Newton doesn't discover gravity. Why? Because he was so interested in God. He wanted to know how God put the universe together. So that doesn't happen. What about universities? Most of the first universities were created to study the scriptures and to teach people the scriptures and how to read and write. They don't exist. Now, maybe they come in a different form, but not in the form that we know it. What if Jesus didn't rise? Would the United States even exist? Probably not. There's no pilgrims seeking religious freedom. There's no Moravians coming here to evangelize the lost. There's no French Huguenots who studied are settled here in the area seeking religious freedom. None of that happens. What about the Declaration of Independence? Are we really created with unalienable rights if we don't believe in Jesus? That doesn't exist. Would the United States exist? Probably not. Not in the form that we know it. Totally different. How would life be different if Jesus didn't exist? What would it do to your life if he didn't rise from the dead? How would it change you? Gandhi studied the scriptures, learned about Jesus. Didn't like Christians too much, but he liked Jesus. And he led a nonviolent revolt, right? Gandhi would have nothing to fall back on. Millions of people probably would have died. Martin Luther King studied the teachings of Gandhi, who studied Jesus. Martin Luther King knew Jesus. No violent protests in the United States. What would it be like? What would you be like if the resurrection hadn't happened? Think about it. It's a powerful thought for a moment to go, what if the world was so different? I was talking to my friend Dale about this the other day. I go, what would it be like for us? Both of us came to this conclusion. We probably wouldn't exist. I'm here today because my family and my ancestors knew Jesus, right? It's what drew them together, especially my great-grandparents. Without Jesus, they probably wouldn't have known each other. I wouldn't exist. And Dale and I both thought about it. We may exist, but we would not be the people we are today if the resurrection hadn't happened. Not only that, but we may not exist like at this point in our life because of despair. In my 20s, I kind of walked away from Jesus. He didn't move. Jesus doesn't move, but I did. Some of you are like me. You grew up finding about Jesus. You learned about Jesus, but maybe there was a time you walked away from Jesus. Maybe it's even now. And you had a lot of doubts. I went through a really tough period in my life where in my 20s, I just said, I don't really want that anymore. And I walked away. Again, he didn't leave me. I left him. And I think about that. Some of the choices I made during that time are things I don't like to think about. I know what I would be like if he hadn't brought me back. What would you be like? I went through a period where I at first enjoyed the freedom. But the more I got into freedom, to realize I didn't have like a hope. I was kind of in the existential world. You know what I'm talking about? We're going, what's the point? Like, what's the point in life if there's no God, if he's not really there, if he's not really speaking? I have no reason to pray. So prayer kind of left my life. Then when you face troubles, you realize you've got to solve them on your own. There's no God to turn to if you're doing your own thing. I began to think through, what about my life choices? What was I going to do with my life? I was going to do things, but if I didn't have God to help me do those things, could I actually do them? All the weight came on my shoulders. Do you know what that feels like for some of you? If you've done that, you know the weight of that. How do I go forward if I have to carry everything? How do I make choices? And I kind of extrapolate that out, and I go, what would I be like without the resurrected Jesus? And I don't ever want to go back there. Because I know what it feels like to be hopeless, and some of you know that right now. You're going, I can't solve my problems. I can't make this work. If I don't have somebody step in, I'm in a world of hurt. And that's what it would be like if the resurrected Jesus didn't exist. What if? What if all of this wasn't true? What if God didn't work? What if God is not working now because the resurrected Jesus, if he didn't rise, what would it be like? I'm teaching a class right now in a university. It's online class. It's kind of small. Great group of students. I've got one student. On his first assignment, they had to write their spiritual journeys. And he did a really good job of talking about his spiritual journey and what he had been through. And he went through a point in his late teens, because he's in his early 20s, where he really struggled with God. He struggled with the idea of God, because he looked at the world and he had all kinds of statistics. He said, why is there hunger in the world? Why is there hunger in the world? Why is it that X amount of people, and he had all these statistics, why are they dying? Why don't they have food? And maybe you've wrestled with those questions too. Why is there suffering? Why is there evil in the world? I've looked at those questions, and because of the resurrected Jesus, I believe I now have answers. It'd be like if we invited you here today, and we said, okay, there's biscuits for everybody, all right? And I had gotten the biscuits, and there's more than enough for everybody to eat, and I said to two of you, we won't pick on who it might be, but I said, would you give them out? And we gave you all the biscuits, and instead of handing them out, you ate them yourself, or you held them back. Or you said, I'm going to sell these biscuits and make a lot of money, and you sold them at a really high price, so only half of you could buy it, and the other people are just looking at you going, you're crazy. You're evil, right? And I look at the world and go, God gave us everything. He said, just share it. Love your neighbors, yourself. I don't blame God for these things. Why blame God? He's provided everything we need. Blame people for that, the choices we make. The question about evil is such an interesting question. Why is there evil in the world? I kind of flipped it on the head and I go, why is there any good in the world? Why is there any good in the world at all, the way people are, the way we can be if we're so focused on ourselves? If the resurrected Jesus isn't real, then why is there any good in the world? And here's the beautiful thing. The reason there is good in the world is because God is good. God is good. We just sang a song that talked about the love of God. The most famous verse in all of history is what? John 3:16, the gospel in a single sentence. For God so what? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loves the world. God cares about you. God wanted a relationship with you. That's why years ago, God said, I'm going to send my Son because I love you. Do you think what God could have done if he wasn't a loving God? You know what he could have done if he wanted to? Create the world and treat it like a zoo. You ever go to the zoo? I love going to the zoo. What do you do when you go to the zoo? You look at the animals and you kind of smile at them and you laugh at them and go, this is really cool. And you interact with them if you're really, you know, fortunate. Like, you ever go to the Ashboro Zoo, the North Carolina Zoo, and they have that gorilla enclosure? Has anybody been there? You know what I'm talking about? And the chimp enclosure. And if you go at the right time, they'll interact with you. One time we were there and one of the little chimpanzees, just little toddler, I think, we got there early and it began to slap the window, wanting us to slap the window back. And for a few moments, we had an interaction with the chimpanzee. It's one of the things I'll never forget. It was like, this was so cool because they actually notice us. And they could watch us like we watch them. What if God had created the world like a zoo? And every now and then, he kind of peeks down and goes, oh, that's interesting. That's funny. Look what they did. That's really cool. I think I'll let them do that. I love watching those people. And then he walks away and doesn't interact. He could certainly have done that, right? He could be God. If his character was anything different except for a loving God, that's what he could have done. What if God was different? The cool thing is that God is not. He's a loving God. Loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son to die for us, so that we could have a relationship with him forever. And that Son not only came and died, but he rose again, saying to us today that new life is possible. New life is possible. And it informs our world today. Later in that same chapter, in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes this. He says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. I'm not ashamed about Jesus. I want the whole world to know about this Jesus. I want them to know that he is resurrected. I want people to know he changed my life. It's not just something that happened over there, those people. It happened to me, and I'm not ashamed of it, Paul says. The resurrection is historical fact to him. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. It's good news. It's good news. This is what Paul's saying. It's not a what-if thing. This is what happened. That morning, those women went to the tomb. And when they got there, there were angels there. And they said, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? And then Mary had this encounter with Jesus that changed her life. And he said her name. And when he said her name, like he says your name, he will call you by name. And when he said her name, her eyes were open. She goes, Jesus. She was so excited, she wanted to tell her friends. She told the disciples. Later that night, they're waiting for Jesus, and he shows up. And he says, peace to you, shalom. May your life be whole the way it should be whole. That's what the resurrected Jesus said to them. My peace I give to you. Be whole. Do not be broken anymore. And the resurrected Jesus changed their life, and they hung out together. And 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came, and the church was formed, and the good news went all over the world. And it began to change the world like a virus that's positive, right? Infecting the whole world with positive love and peace. Paul was intercepted in his life, just like God wants to intercept your life. And he saw the resurrected Jesus. It changed him so much. He went everywhere, endured all kinds of things because he knew the resurrected Jesus, and it changed his life, and he wanted everyone to know that that's who Jesus is, and it changed us. It changed our world. See, that day was not just a day in human history. It's a day that affects us today. It infects our lives and our hearts when we know that. Paul goes on to write, in verse 17. He says this, the good news, this good news of Jesus, the good news of the risen Lord, tells us how God makes us right in his sight. He says, I want you to know how to be right with this God who loves you and who created the world, not just to look in like you're a zoo animal or something unimportant to him. He wants you to know he knows everything about you. He needs the number of hairs on your head. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you did this morning. He knows what you did last night. He knows what you did the day before. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. That's the risen Lord. He makes us right in his sight because he knows what's in your life. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You just believe it. As scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It's by believing it. It's by believing it. It's by believing that that morning, Jesus showed up and he's alive today. It's by having questions like I have questions. I still don't have all my questions answered. I'm still learning, but I have enough of them answered to go, I can step out in faith, and I believe that Jesus is Lord, and I believe he is risen because he's changed my life. That's all the faith you need to get started, to get moving. Mother Teresa wrote this, it's only when you realize your nothingness, your emptiness, that God can fill you with himself. In other words, when you are filled with yourself and you think you can handle it all and you can take care of it all, then you don't think you need Jesus. I think God's trying to interrupt us right now, right? It's some sort of emergency signal, and God sends it out sometimes to us and say, look, guys, it's time to think about life. And hopefully everybody's okay with that emergency notice. There you go. God will interrupt our life and everything will be okay because he's in charge. He says, when you empty yourself of yourself, that's when there's room for Jesus. That's when there's room to believe. That's when there's room to have faith. I don't know where you are right now with your life. I think the power that we have through faith is twofold. One, it's the power to change your life today. Some of you are here today and you're going, I don't know how to solve my problem. I've got an issue I don't know how to solve. I've tried to fix it. I've tried to change myself. I've tried to make things happen. And I have only made it worse. I may be a little bit deeper than I started, and I am looking for help. And I just need God to say, I'm here, and I know, and I care, and I'm gonna help. That's what the risen Lord says today. I'm here for you. And if you're here today with that idea in your heart, that need in your heart, we're here just to say, step forward by faith and say, Jesus, I need you to help me. Some of you are here today and you're going, I don't really know that Jesus, but I want to. Because here's the deal. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's no hope of heaven. Right? Our understanding of heaven and resurrection is based on the resurrection of Jesus. Other cultures don't have that idea. It's what sets Christianity apart. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. And maybe you're not sure. Maybe God's an idea to you, but it's not a personal relationship. And you feel that he's calling you by name and speaking to you by name. And you go, I want to know him. I need to know him because I don't want to walk in that darkness. And maybe he's saying your name right today. And he goes, I need you to answer. Just step out in faith. If that's you today, we're going to give you an opportunity in just a few minutes to do that. And say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I need you to fix this problem in my life. And I need that change. I need the risen Lord in my life. I need a new life and be a new creation. Or maybe you're on the side that's saying, I just need to know a Savior because I can't save myself. In just a minute, we're going to give you an opportunity to make those choices, give you a chance just to pray. We're going to be praying over here by the cross. If you want to experience that, we'll be here for you. And we just want to say, Jesus came because God loves you. And Jesus lived on this earth because God loves you. And Jesus died to save you. And Jesus rose again to prove it. This is who Jesus is. It's not a question of what if this didn't happen. It's a question is, do you believe that it happened? And if you believe, then take a step of faith and say, I believe, work in my life. I want to pray for us now. If you'll pray with me, and we're just going to bow our heads and close our eyes and ask this Jesus to hear us. So let's pray. Jesus, we believe those who have given our lives to you. We believe that you're here now and you're alive today. Not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. We believe that you're here now. So we ask you to move through your Holy Spirit to speak to hearts. Draw unto yourself those that you're calling by name. For those whose lives are in a place where they just need someone to hear them, to know that you care, I pray that they're hearing how much you love them and how much you care about them. May you speak to their hearts. May they make a statement to you of their need of emptiness without you. And may they find hope and healing and restoration. Heal families, Father God. Heal generations. Speak to lives and just say, I will bring you through this. Provide for what's needed. I pray for anyone today online or here in the room that needs to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That the risen Lord is here and he's come to save. I pray they'll take that step. Even today, saying, Jesus, come into my life. I receive you by faith. Change my life. Give me hope. I want to be with you in heaven forever. Jesus, I ask this in your name. Amen. If that's your prayer today, we'd love to talk to you about it. We'd love to kind of help you through that. We're going to take a time of communion here in a second. And during that time, there's tables set on either side of the room for you to receive communion. There's also a place up here at the cross if you just want to pray. And we'll be up here with a group of people prepared to do that. For communion today, as we look at that, this is something we do every week to remember the risen Lord. There's a story that I started, but I didn't close. It's the story of two men that were walking away from Jerusalem. One was named Cleopas. We don't know the other guy's name. They were walking away from Jerusalem because they were in despair. They were defeated. They had last seen Jesus on the cross. They didn't understand any more than that. And on the way to Emmaus, they're walking and they're talking. And they have no answers. And suddenly this person joins them and they don't recognize him. They don't know who it is, but he begins to explain everything that had happened to Jesus and how the scriptures had pointed to Jesus as being the Messiah. And they're interested in that. And then they get to the town. This person acts like they're going to keep walking. And they say, hang on, it's dinner time. Why don't you have dinner with us? We'll talk some more. And it says in Luke 24, 30 to 32, this is the end of the story. It says, as they sat down to eat, the bread, and he took the bread and he blessed it. The stranger, they didn't know who it was. And then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment he disappeared. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn with us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? So they didn't recognize Jesus. And I tell you, I don't know everything in the Bible. I'm still learning. God still got me on this journey. He's still teaching me. I've always looked like, I don't get it. Did they never meet Jesus before? Maybe not. Maybe they haven't heard stories. They just don't get it. So they're just walking. Maybe so. But I heard a story. Jacob and Brandon and I went to a preaching conference. And the guy gave an answer. It's the best one I've ever heard. I go, thank you. It's like an answer to a question. And this is what they said. Maybe this is what happened. They don't recognize him. They're sitting there. They sit down to eat. Jesus is sitting there. He picks up the bread, right? And what happens when he picks up the bread? He reaches out like this, and he breaks it. And when he does like that, what do they see? The scars. They see the prints. They go, wow, that's Jesus. He's alive. They could see it with their own eyes. I'd never thought about that before. Right? There's the scars. And when they saw it, their hearts were on fire. Jesus is alive. When you go to the tables today, when you pick up the bread, that's the body of Jesus broken for you. The juice is the blood of Christ shed for you so you can know Jesus. And by his wounds, you are healed. It's powerful. So I'm going to pray. And after I pray, again, you make your way to the tables, but if you have to make your way to Jesus and you have some time you need to spend with him, join us at the cross and we'll pray with you and then we'll continue our service. Let's pray together. Jesus, through your power, we are healed by your wounds. Our hearts are healed. Our brokenness is restored. Our hurts are mended. Our hopes are revived. The things we struggle with are defeated because you have power. So I pray that in this moment of communion, you will speak to our hearts and heal hearts and give hope for today and tomorrow. And for those who need to just to speak to you, Father, we pray that whatever they bring to the cross, you will speak into it. And you will speak that your grace is sufficient for all of our needs, always. Thank you for Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Again, communion is open. If you want prayer, we'll be right here.